blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you. From God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 284, the fifth stanza. High in the heavens, his throne is fixed forever. His kingdom rules o'er all from pole to pole. Bless ye the Lord through all his wide dominion. Bless his most holy name, O thou my soul. 284 in the fifth stanza.
Portion of God's Word that we wish to read this afternoon, you can find recorded in the book of the prophet Isaiah and are of chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, but before we will read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Isaiah chapter 9. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward it more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nations, and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood, but they shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The Lord sent a word unto Jacob, and it had lighted upon Israel, and all the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitant of Samaria. They say in the pride and stoutness of heart, the bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. Therefore the Lord shall set up the adversaries of risen against him, and join his enemies together, the Syrians before and the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with open mouth. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For the people turn not unto him that smited them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. Therefore the Lord will cut off from Israel head and tail, branch and rush, in one day. The ancient and the honorable, he is the head, and the prophet that teaches lies, he is the tail. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. Therefore the Lord shall have no joy in their young men, neither shall have mercy on their fatherless and widows. For everyone is an hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaketh folly. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For wickedness burneth as the fire. It shall devour the briars and thorns, and shall kindle in the thickets of the forests. And they shall mount up like the lifting up of smoke. Through the wrath of the Lord of hosts is the land darkened, and the people shall be as the fuel of the fire. No man shall spare his brother, and he shall snatch on the right hand and be hungry, and he shall eat on the left hand, and they shall not be satisfied. They shall eat every man the flesh of his own arm, Manasseh Ephraim, and Ephraim Manasseh. And they together shall be against Judah. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still.
Try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we have heard it in these moments out of thy own holy word, then it is no different today than it was so many years ago. For all this, that thou hadst smitten thy people, and yet thy hand, that is, thine anger was not yet turned away, but thy hand was stretched out still. For the people, they did not turn to him that smote them. Then we are worse than a dog who does turn unto him that smiteth him. Oh, that we may receive understanding hearts in the days in which that we are living, and that we could not just go on as we have heard it in these moments. And the bricks are falling down, oh, and we will build with hewn stones. And the sycamores, they are cut down, but we will build with cedars. And they shall last forever, but we turn not to him that smiteth us. Oh, give us to understand, O Lord. Grant us all together hearts of true humility. Bring us in the dust of self-abasement before thee, as individuals, families, congregations, but also our province and nation. Oh, that we may be brought to bow and to acknowledge thy hand in all this, and that we may turn again with all our heart unto thee who does smite us, and that we may be given to learn those necessary lessons, and that it goes not according to our will, but it goes according to thy will, and that it may become good for us, and that we have been afflicted, that there could yet be a little honey on the end of the rod, and that in all of our weariness, in the days in which we are living, and that our eye may yet go out to thee, in that place where we cannot deliver ourselves, and that we may seek thee, the Lord of hosts, and that the need of our souls may be come uppermost in our heart and in our life. Oh, that we may be given to see that it is but a short journey between the cradle and the grave, and that the necessity of thy dear Son may be bound upon the heart of each and every one of us. Oh, that we may become truly an Advent people. Oh, that thou may reveal thyself in the life of thy own dear children. And thou knowest also the places where that they are in this day, in thy house or in their own homes, But in their hearts they will be round about that holy truth. Oh, for Jehovah I am waiting, and my hope is in His word of promise given. Yea, my soul waits for the Lord. Oh, Thou knowest their place, Lord. Could it please Thee who has given the desires to also fulfill and answer them, that in this Thy holy day there may yet be joy and gladness, a hope planted and hope that is strengthened in the life of those who have no ability in themselves. Oh, that their eye may be given to look upon Thee, whom Thou didst send into this world, that He may take away the sin of His church, that they may be given to rest a little and by a true saving faith. Oh, could it be for just a moment to see once again, as some may say they have seen so long ago, and yet it is so dry and so dead, and they are so listless in this world that does in every way bring them down. Oh, that Thou may give them in this Thy day, in Thy house, round about Thy holy word, a little a word of encouragement, a little token, that Thou would show them that Thou still knowest where that they are, and what is that burning that lives by moments in their heart. Oh, that they may be given to acknowledge Thy own work, and that their need may draw them once again. Oh, could it please Thee to remember Thy bride, O Lord, that Thou wouldst, when Thou dost knock and she has no desire anymore, I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on again, O Lord, for a little myrrh upon the handles of the lock, that may draw her the sweet spices, O Lord, Thy graces, that they may flow out, and that she may be given to rise up once again and go about the streets, that she may find her beloved. Oh, that the daughters of Jerusalem may be given to see Thy bride. Oh, that they may also see with holy jealousy of a Ruth of old, and that they may begin to ask after her beloved, and that she may begin to tell, oh, to confess all her own guilt. But then how good and how sweet and what a beloved that Thou art unto her, for Thou dost accomplish everything for Thy church. O Lord, Thou art the Alpha, and they have not begun it, and they cannot finish it. But Thou art also the Omega, and Thou wilt never forsake the work of Thine own hands. O, give them to see a little. O, give them to feel a little. Give them to rejoice a little in the midst of all the way wherein that Thou dost lead. Care for all those who are in their homes in this day. Oh, we think of our sister congregation, Thy servants that are not able to bring Thy word, and those that are not able even to come round in Thy house when the doors they have been shut. Oh, Lord, that Thou may remember each and every one of them, and care for all those that may bring Thy word this day. Oh, give the unction of Thy Holy Spirit in a rich measure. Wilt Thou do unto us and unto our children what Thou hast done for our forefathers. Oh, they had a better life because we sin it all away. The world that is in our hearts, the world that is in the church. But, oh, Lord, wilt Thou wash us? Wilt Thou cleanse us? And wilt Thou renew us to walk again after Thee? Oh, that Thou may remember us in Thy mercy. Care for those that have become old and those that are in the Bethesda nursing home. Lord, Thou knowest also the loneliness, the seclusion. Oh, that Thou may look upon them in all their needs and visit them in their old age. Care for all that are afflicted, those that are sick, those that are handicapped, those that have special needs in this life. Wilt Thou grant a place by Thee? Wilt Thou be with us also, Lord? Wilt Thou strengthen us for our labor in this afternoon hour and also a Sabbath by Sabbath to Sabbath day, that we may yet remain among our people and that we may be able to do our work if it could please Thee, and that Thou may remember us in this afternoon. O Lord, help us. We are of yesterday and know nothing, but Thou knowest the heart of each one and what is necessary. Oh, could it be a profitable day in Thy house of prayer, a profitable hour in this afternoon, and that there may be something that we may take home with us. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 209, the sixth stanza. Has God forgotten to be kind? Shall I His promise faithless find? For me shall wrath henceforth replace His tender mercies and His grace. The sixth stanza of Psalter 209. Congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in the portion that was read to you, Isaiah, the 9th chapter, and thereof the second portion of the 6th verse. These words, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And so far, the words of our text, the promise of a blessed government. First, the shoulder that will bear this government. It says, his shoulder. Thus, who does it speak about? Whose shoulder is this that will bear this government? Second, the people that will benefit from this government. For we read in the context, for unto us a child is born, and that he will sit upon the throne of David. Thus the people that will benefit from this government. And third, the order which will be established by this government, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. Thus, the promise of a blessed government, first the shoulder which will bear this government. Second, the people which will benefit from this government. And third, the order which will be established by this government. Our text, congregation, that speaks about government, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. What do we think about government? Because Isaiah, he lived for many years, and he lived through both bad governments and good governments. We read that he lived during the times of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. We know also they were the kings of Judah, and we know also that the kings of Israel in the time of Isaiah, so that was the very end of that kingdom before that they were taken captive, they were wicked kings, Pekah, Hoshea. And we know that Israel, they were also taken captive, and then they were governed under a government which they certainly did not appreciate. Thus Isaiah, a time living under both bad and good governments. The Israel was warned about this. You know that children, because they lived under a very good government. Think about the time that Samuel judged Israel, and then the people, they wanted a king. They wanted a different government. And then the Lord warned them, and he said that you are not going to appreciate that government. And the Lord gave to them King Saul, and by that king, there was oppression in the midst of Israel. With us, it is no different. We have at times a government which we well appreciate, and other times then there are governments that we wish that things were different. And who is above all of this? That is the Lord, because he is the governor also of all of those governors, and there is nothing that is taking place outside of his decree. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. Who has established the institution of government? That is God himself. That is in our creation. And the Lord has said also of this part of our creation, he said it is very good. Very good for his creatures that there be government. And he has established different kinds of laws, the laws of nature, whereby the whole universe is governed, so that the planets are governed in a certain way. The Lord, he is upholding those laws of nature, and he is governing the molecules and the atoms that make up everything, and governing also the viruses by certain laws that we can figure out how that they are going to act, because the Lord, He does that the same every day. Those laws the Lord upholds, and then we can say it is going to go like this or it is going to go like that. Otherwise, if the Lord, He did not give government over all those laws, then there would be chaos in the world. Then we would never know when the sun comes up or when the planets, they are moving and how everything is working in this world. But the Lord, He is governing it. And then He governs also the animals in a different way, children, right? Because then the animals, the birds, what do they do in the winter time when they say, well, it is going to get cold, then they go to the south. Say, smart animals? No. They don't have a brain. They don't think like we do. They cannot reason. But the Lord, He governs them. That is for the preservation of all of the species. And man? How does the Lord govern man? Well, He governs man by His moral law. He has given to man His Ten Commandments. Are we governed by the commandments of the Lord? And the government shall be upon His shoulders. God says it is good. Satan says it is bad. To our first parents, he said government is not good. No, you do not need to listen to God. It is better that you made your own law, that you were a God unto yourself, and that you declared what was right and what was wrong. Then you do not have to be under the government of God. And who are Adam and Eve's children, boys and girls? That is us. We are His children. You know, the children, you say sometimes someone sees you children, they say, oh, I know who your mother is, I know who your father is, I can see that in you. And us, then the world, they can say, well, I can see that in you. Oh, we are of our father, Adam. We are of our father, Eve. Why? Well, because we do not want to be governed. Children, is that right for you? That you do not want to be governed? Do parents, they have to have grief, young people, over their children? Because you do not want to listen, that you say, I'm not going to have anybody to tell me what to do? That is to rebel against government. There was a child, I've told you that before, he said to his mother, Mother, I also have a will. The mother said, child, in hell are all children with their own will. That is where they go. We do not want to be governed by the law of God. We would like to throw off government. And we think that that is now freedom. That is now liberty. When we can do just as we please and whenever and wherever that we please, then we are a free people. We are not slaves then to do what someone else says, but we are our own boss and we do our own will. Is that right? Is that what freedom is? Is that what liberty is? Then I ask you a question. How was that for our first parents? When God created them, then God created them under government, under His government. Were they then slaves? They had to listen, they had to obey. Were they then slaves? Say, no. There was no one as free. There was no one that had so much liberty as our first parents, and yet they were created under government. There was no more blessed state. as the state of Adam and Eve. And why? Because they could do, they may do exactly what they were created to do. That is what freedom is. Freedom is not that we may do anything we like and when we like, no. But freedom that is to be able to do what we were created to do is a bird child. Children, if you see a bird and you say that bird cannot bark like a dog, no. Is that bird then not free? Or if you see a dog, he cannot fly like a bird. Is that dog then not free? Oh, they are. Because a dog, he can bark and he can run and he can be a dog. And a bird, he can sing and he can chirp and he can fly. He can be a bird. That was what he was created to do. And so he is perfectly free. He has that perfect liberty. And how is it now with us? What were we created to do? We were created to glorify God. Can you do that? Oh, do you ever feel something, congregation, that we cannot do as we were created to do? We are not free. No, we do not have liberty. Oh, does that ever grieve you? Young people, when I was your age, when I was maybe 10, 15 years old, I don't know, and I was standing in church after church, we stood up and we were going to sing, and we began, praise God, praise God. From whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. And then my heart was crying. Then I said, Lord, I cannot do it. I cannot praise Thee. My heart cannot do it. Then I thought, I will do it with my mouth. I will open my mouth and I will sing praise to Him at least with my mouth because I cannot do it with my heart. Does that ever live in your heart, boys and girls? That you say, oh Lord, I cannot do what I was created to do. Then there is something so wrong. I am actually a slave. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. What is that? That is an expression. To be upon his shoulder. When we place something upon somebody's shoulder, then we are placing it there because that shoulder is very strong. Then it is easier, young men, to carry that load on your shoulder than it is to carry it with your hands. You say, why? Well, that shoulder is strong, then you bear up a weight. So when it speaks about placing something on somebody's shoulder, then it speaks about something that is very, very heavy. And what is now being placed on that shoulder here? Well, we read it is government. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. So it speaks about government as a weight, as something that is very heavy. So why is that heavy? Government. If you be in government, then you have a position. That is the way that we see it when we are not in government. You say, that is an honor. It is true. That is a great honor. to be placed in a position of government. And yet the Bible that speaks about it as a great weight. And why is it a great weight? Because there is in it a great responsibility. You feel that, fathers? You are a governor. You are to govern your family. You are to govern your wife. You are to govern your children. You are there to care for them, to protect them, and to instruct them. How seriously, fathers, do you take that position, that office that the Lord has given to you? Is that for you a weight? Do you ever feel something of that weight? Of the greatness of that responsibility? Moses, he said to the Lord, he said, I am not able to bear it. I am not able to bear all this people alone, he says. It is too heavy for me. Because he felt the great responsibility of his congregation. But the Lord himself had chosen the shoulder of Moses to bear that government. That is the prerogative of the Lord. Because we read in God's word, he is the one that puts up. And he is the one that puts down. You say, we do that. We do that because we vote. Yes, but the Lord, he is the one who is guiding that voting. Therefore, when we vote this Wednesday, then we ask the Lord first that he will guide us, that he himself will place office bearers in their position. Why does he do that? Because they have such strong shoulders? No, he does not do it because they have strong shoulders, but they are the ones whom he is choosing. And then the Lord, he says, I will strengthen those shoulders. I will give you what you need to bear that government. Thus God himself, he is choosing every governor. Every governor, you say? But there are bad governors. Yes, that is true. But the Lord, he is also choosing those governors. We read that in his word. That the Lord is setting them up. What do you think is worse, young people? A bad government or no government at all? It is much worse to have no government at all. That is completely of the devil that you see happening in the United States of America. And what is the result of that? That defund the police. No government. We will do what we will, when we will. And then you see the building. They are going up in flames. And then you see the people. They are being murdered. That is all the consequence of no government, anarchy. The Lord, he is also setting up the governors that we would call a bad governor. And they are going to do his bidding. That is, when he has a judgment sometimes to bring upon that people, then he will give them a government that will bring to them the chastisement that he has decreed for that people, as we have read it in his holy word. And thus our text that says, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. It is the Lord who says this. He says that through his servant Isaiah. Isaiah is declaring who that governor shall be. Will everyone agree with this governor? No. because there are going to be Pharisees and scribes, and they are going to say, "Whom makest thou thyself?" And what did the Lord Jesus say? He says that if I honor myself, then he says, my honor that is nothing. He says, but my Father is the one that honoreth me. That is now the rejoicing of the true church of God. My Father honoreth me. My Father has given this place. My Father has set me in this, on this throne. My Father has given unto me this government. Our first thought, the shoulder that will bear this government. What shoulder is that? What does Isaiah say? He says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Only two words, child and son. So we have the first word, child. For unto us a child is born. That is the Hebrew word, yeled. And that means a male child. For unto us a male child is born. That is full of meaning. We read that the government that is going to be upon his shoulder. We read that he is going to sit upon the throne of David. If he will sit on the throne of David, then it must be that he is the son of David. Because they are the ones that would sit upon David's throne, his sons. And this child shall be born. What does that mean, children? He shall be a child. He shall be born in this world. That means that he is going to be one of our race. He is going to be one of us. He is not going to be a foreigner. If we have a foreigner to rule over us, that happened to the children of Israel. When Shalmaneser, he came, and when the Assyrians, the Chaldeans, they ruled over them. Later on, we read about Herod. They were not Israelites. And then they did not care about what the Israelites really wanted, what the Israelites really needed, no. But they did their own will, and they imposed that upon the Israelites. They were actually slaves then. They were not at liberty. They were not a free people. But when it will be one of us, one of our own nation, he will be born unto us. He will be of our own human nature. What does that mean? That means that they will be a free people. They will be a people at liberty, and that one who is ruling over them, he will rule over them specifically for their good. He will do for them what is for their benefit. Now tell me something, young people. Is Satan one of us? I say, no, he is not one of us. He is not a human being. He was never born. He is a fallen angel. He is a fallen spirit. He is a devil. He is not one of us. Thus, when he rules over us, are we free? That is what he says. You shall be free. When you come under my government, he said to Adam and Eve, you shall be free. And it was exactly the opposite. Because it was in that moment that our first parents, they became slaves They came under a foreigner to govern them. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. So why does it say now a son? Is it not redundant? Because it already said a child, and that word yeled, that already means not a female child, but it means a male child. So a male child is automatically, you say, a son. Is that then not redundant to say first that a male child is born and a son is given? No, that is not redundant, because there is a very special emphasis here put on that word son, speaking about sonship. Thus, not only will it be a male child, but it will also be a son. It will be a unique son. It will be a special son. What is that special son? It says here that his name shall be called the Mighty God. Thus, he shall be a son. He shall be even the Son of God. The government shall be upon his shoulder. It shall be on the shoulder of him who is divine. It shall be upon the shoulder of him who has power, the power over all the kings and over all the people of the world. And at the same time, it will be upon the shoulder of the son of the woman, the child that shall be born, who shall be one of us, who shall have an interest, who shall have the sympathy for that people. That is now the choice of the father, who is setting up one and who is putting down another, to place the government into the hands of his son, in that human nature, to do his bidding. For whom? That is our second thought. The people who will benefit from this government. And who are those people? What do we read? Isaiah, he says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Who is us? So that is Judah and Israel, prophesied actually of both of those kingdoms. But he has spoken about those of Judea and of Judah and of Israel here in this chapter. And we read here what the condition of that people is in these verses before. And we can read that the judgments of the Lord, they were resting upon his people. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations. Thus us, the people of the Lord, that were under the judgments of the Lord. Vexation, we read. Affliction. How? Then it was not disease, no, but there was a different affliction, because the Lord, he uses many different kinds of afflictions for the chastisement of his own children, and they lay under bondage, the bondage of the enemy. We read here it is called a yoke, a burden, the rod of the oppressor, like an animal that is under a yoke. The weight and he has to pull under that yoke. Thus, the people, they are under an oppressive government, the government of the enemy that did not desire their welfare, that desired only to suppress them, and that were looking only to be served by them, to keep them as a slave. For Israel, actually, this was at the doors, the 10 tribes. They will be taken by that enemy. For Judah, that will be some time later, that they also will go into captivity. But Isaiah speaks of it all just as if it has already happened, because of the certainty with which it is surely to come to pass. And indeed, it is come to pass. It is already happening. Why? Because their own king, we think about Ahaz, how that he has brought into that house of the Lord that altar fashioned after that altar to that heathen god in the very house of the Lord. And we can read that in every corner of Jerusalem that Ahaz has set up altars unto these heathen gods. Thus, even those who are not yet brought into captivity, even those who are yet in their own land, they are under bondage because their own king, he has no respect for the God of Israel. And to lead that people unto the God of Israel, but he has himself forsaken him, and he leads that people unto the idols. Thus there is a great forsaking in the land, a forsaking of the law of the Lord, and a choosing to be governed by the gods of the heathen. What do you think, children? Everyone? Do you think all those in Israel and all those in Judah were happy with what that king had done? No. There were many that were. There were many that they brought their sacrifices to the Lord. But it was all just outward. They did not love the Lord. And it made no difference to them. It was an altar of the Lord or an altar of another god. But then there were another people. We read in God's word that it is a remnant. You know what a remnant is? It's just the smallest part. And it is as a part that is cast away. It is just fit for the garbage, we would say. The remnant. And that were people. They were crying. That people, they were mourning. That was a great grief to them. It was a great burden to them to live under that ungodly dominion, not just of other kings, but of another god, that their own king is bowing down unto. And now the mass of the people, well, that is just a worldly people with an outward religion. But now that remnant, and for them it was a burden. Is that a burden also unto us? You know what Isaiah speaks about that people? He says, that people, they walked in darkness. What does that mean? When it is dark. But when it is dark, we cannot see anything. And that people that walked in darkness, they could not see how it was possible that they could ever be delivered from this wretched condition, that their sin has brought them into. They cannot see the end of it. They do not have in themselves any power to deliver themselves out of it. Oh, you say, people, you are mourning, but did not the Lord promise to our first parents already? Did they not hear that promise? Has that not been told through all the years, even to this time, as the hope of the true church of God, that there would come a Savior, that there would come a Redeemer, that there would come a Mediator, and that Satan, he shall not have that last word, that it shall bruise his heel, yes, but that it shall, that he shall bruise his head. Oh, that is true. But that has now been so long ago. How long ago has it been in your life, people of the Lord? How long ago? When you could just believe. Oh, when the Lord gave you faith. When I would say you did not even have to believe. You had not to put forth any effort to believe, because the Lord, he put it right in your heart. And your heart just rejoiced. When you may see it. When you may see it with hope. When you may see him. Through the promise of the Lord. How long ago now? Oh, this people, we read, they walked in darkness. And they cannot deny things that the Lord had done in their life. Is there something that you cannot deny that the Lord has done in your life? These people could tell something that lay in their history. What was in their history? They were in the land of bondage. Oh, the Lord, he has raised them up out of that bondage. The Lord, he has put away the power of Pharaoh. He has destroyed Pharaoh. A picture of that blessed regeneration. And the Lord, he has brought them through that sea. And the Lord, he has brought them into a pleasant land. They cannot deny all that. But you know what they never expected? They never expected that it would come to this. After so many years, such a great forsaking. After so many years, such a great degradation. Cannot even recognize that people anymore, that they are the people of the Lord. So in our life too, those that have rejoiced in the leadings of the Lord, and now you say, I am afraid, can even not be recognized anymore. And how shall I ever come out of this? And the days go by, and the weeks, and the months, and the years. And sitting in darkness. And now the Lord, he speaks. He speaks by the mouth of Isaiah, his prophet. What does he say to that people? He says, unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. He says there's going to come a new government. There is going to come a new governor. And the governor and the government is now going to be laid upon the shoulder of that governor. He will be the son of the woman. He will be the son of David, the promised seed. He will be the Son of God. Let us sing. Song of Zacharias, the 7th verse. Behold, the morning star arise. Ye that in darkness sit, he marks the path that leads to peace and guides our doubtful feet. The Song of Zacharias, the 7th verse. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. The promise of a blessed government. First, the shoulder that will bear this government. Second, the people that will benefit from this government. And third, the order which will be established by this government. We read of the increase of his government and peace. There shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth, even forever. Thus the Lord, he promises a new order of things. And he speaks about the increase of his government and peace. So how do the nations of the world increase their government? So that is by war. He says, Christ, he will gather his church. He is going to gather his church out of every nation. That is now going to be new. Not just the Jewish people, but he is going to gather them out of every nation of the world. That will be a new order of things. And he is going to gather them in a peaceful manner, not by the sword. You can read that in the history. That the civil government that has tried to force that religion on the people. No, the Lord says. But it will be in a peaceful manner, and the Lord will establish peace in that government. That's the nations of the world. In the end of the world, what is going to happen? We read that there will be wars and rumors of wars. Then there are those that say that Christ, he is going to reign from heaven for 1,000 years, and during that reign, there is going to be peace on the whole world. No wars in the world. That is not so. That is to make it just like it was in the Old Testament, a theocracy. No. No, the nations of the world that is going to increase in their wars, and yet the kingdom of Christ that will be established in a peaceful manner, that is every single one of that true church of God, wherever that they are in this whole world, even when those nations, they are fighting one another, that true church, they will be at peace with their brethren from that other nation. The government of Christ, it will increase because the Gentiles, they will be brought into that church. The order will be different. He said that to Pilate. He said that my kingdom is not of this world, else would my servants fight. It is going to be a different order. And that government will be ordered and established with judgment and with justice. That is the blessing of every single well-founded government in this world, when there is judgment and justice. How is he going to order that kingdom? He is going to order it. And what is the meaning of the word order? That is to make it firm. That is to make it stable, enduring, so you cannot move it. To order it, to make it permanent. So it is not like Rome that can become a great metropolis and then come burning down. No, it is going to be ordered. It is going to be established. How? He says, with justice and with judgment. He himself, the governor, is going to do this. How will he do it? Well, he is going to satisfy that justice. He is going to do that himself. He is the one who, as the servant of his Father, is going to place himself under government. And he is going to obey the law of God, for a people who would not obey the law of God. And he is going to pay the price for the people who had a great debt because they would not obey the law of God. He is going to take the responsibility for this. He is going to become accountable to his Father just for that people, that they themselves would never have to give an account unto that judge anymore. That is going to be the mark of his kingdom, justice that is going to be satisfied. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with righteousness. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. What is government for? Government is there to give a direction. Government looks to the end of things. Government looks to the purpose of things. And he is going to govern the kingdom to the end for which that he has established it. It is not going to fail. That is impossible. Oh, what are God's children most concerned about in their life? Is it not the end? Do you ever think about your end? And what is coming at the end of your life? Do you ever look at the end of your journey? Or do we just journey and not look at the end? So that there is nothing that we are governed by, because we have no purpose in life. And we have no end in view. And now it says that the government shall be upon his shoulder. And now with that remnant of the Lord that was in Israel, the remnant of the Lord that was in Judah, there is a church that is laying in its wretchedness, a church that is laying in its affliction, a church that is laying, we read here, in darkness. And what do they say? They say, how will this all end? What is now going to be the end of my life? What is going now to be the end of my religion? What is now going to be the end of all the experiences or what I thought that the Lord, he had done in my life? Because I cannot die with the things that I thought that I had received. And that I am standing still for my own account. What is now going to be the end? What is government? What is government? That is what is directing to a certain end. What is Satan's government that is directing to a certain destruction? He is the prince of the world. And what is now the government of Christ? It is leading somewhere. It is directed to a certain end. It is directed to a certain purpose. And the government that shall be upon his shoulder. Do God's children govern anything at all? Just ask them. And they will tell you nothing. If they would, they could. Very often. And then how would it go? Different. Different than what the Lord does. Is it not so? Then they are like Peter. He said, not so, Lord. Not this way. This shall not be unto thee or unto us. Then they would be like Jonah sometimes and take a ship and flee away from the Lord. Why? Because they are not happy. They cannot agree with that government of the Lord. Affliction, trial, persecution, tears, darkness, fears, the lack of assurance. What shall the end be? The flesh does not choose this way, but they are not the governor. Who is the governor? And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And he is directing everything to a certain determinate end. To humble them. To prove them. And to see what is laying in their heart continually. Tell me, if you could have your way, people of the Lord, would it not be ease? Would it not be worldly prosperity? And what would the end of that be? And the government shall be upon his shoulder. How much freedom and how much liberty is reserved for that church under this governor, even here below, even in this temporal life, every time that a little faith may be an exercise, then they may taste a little of it. Who has more freedom, young people, Who has more liberty, you or your parents? You say, my parents, they can do whatever they want. Is that so? Ask your parents. Who has more liberty? Parents, you or your children? And you will say, my children. And why? Because you have responsibilities that they do not have. And the younger that child is, the less are his responsibilities, and less for which that child is accountable. It all lays on whom? It all lays on father. It all lays on mother. And the child, he is free. He is free just to be a child with not a care in this whole world. Where lies his freedom? In his independence? No. In his dependence. There lies his freedom. That is now the order that shall be established, Isaiah says, for that church. By that governor, that church, they shall be so fully dependent. Dependent upon me. And I will free them of all accountability unto the judge. They will not have to stand there all alone. Because I will be surety for them. And I will give an answer to them unto that judge. And I will set them free as the governor. And I will give them a perfect liberty to do not only what they were created to do, but I will give them a perfect liberty to do what they were redeemed to do. What is that work? What is that work in that new paradise? Oh, that will be to glorify and to magnify that triune God, not only for their creation, but especially for their redemption. And the government that shall be upon his shoulder, they will not have to fear for any destruction by the enemy. Because that enemy, he can only bruise their heel. Oh, what a peace is the portion of that true church. As long as they are under the government that is upon his shoulder, with a crumb of faith that is an exercise, all the people, they are calling in the church of God to every man under his vine and under his fig tree. And there they may sit, that true church of God, under that government, upon his shoulder. We would say, they can put their feet up and they can fold their arms. There is a rest congregation that remaineth unto the people of God. This governor, he is taking care of everything for the church of God. There is not one sin that is not paid for them. There is not one enemy. Oh, they may be able they may be able just to touch under the permission of the Lord. Oh, even in the greatest afflictions, think about Job. What a peace that was living in his heart. He could say, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. He was under government, a blessed government. He had pain in his body. He had peace in his soul. And a governor, he has restrained his enemy. Oh, the government that shall be upon his shoulder between Egypt and the land of Canaan. There were 40 years. They were 40 years in the wilderness, in the desert, in the dry desert, a miserable, a complaining people. About what? About the government of the Lord. It was never right for them. It is a wonder, is it not, that there is a single one of that people that may ever enter into that land of Canaan? But it became different in the end, because what does David write? He writes, and he led them forth by the right way into that city of habitation. No, O that governor, he shall never do it wrong for that true church of God, as he is directing everything, all the providences that are in this world. And everything that is taking place in the heart of that people, for the good of that people, and for the glory of his name. O congregation, that we might learn to know him, to acknowledge him, to love him, to trust him, to obey him, and to delight ourselves in him. That is an easy life. It is easy, so easy by moments in this life, even in the deepest of afflictions for the true church of God. And there is such an easy life that is awaiting for that people forever, with that government upon his shoulders. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, give us a little eye to behold it, because we are such complaining and peevish people. Oh, we are never in agreement. Oh, could it please thee to bring us there once and again. Oh, a little time, Lord, that we may just say that it is good what the Lord does, and that we may see that there is an end, and that we may rejoice that thou carest for us, that thou dost not leave us. Oh, humble us under thy goodness and draw us to thyself. Forgive what was all amiss in our hearts and all that is amiss in our lives, and wilt thou bring us under that blessed government. We ask it in Jesus' name, amen. 194, the first stanza. His wide dominion shall extend from sea to utmost sea, and unto earth's remotest bounds his peaceful rule shall be. The first of Psalter 194. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.